Welcome to Faith and Victory Church. Faith and Victory Church is an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. We welcome all who love to worship God and those who wish to deepen their relationship with Him. Pastors Matt and Crystal Krachunas are inviting you to come worship with them and the congregation of Faith and Victory Church this Sunday. To find out more about Faith and Victory Church, check out our website, www.faithandvictory.com. You will find that there is something for everyone at Faith and Victory Church. Now join us for the Spirit-filled message.
Man, I love Wednesday nights. Wednesday nights is a little bit different than Sundays, a little bit more laid back. Just a little bit more laid back on Wednesday nights. Are you guys at all, like, superstitious?
No.
It's a trick question. You shouldn't be, but the truth is some of us are. And, you know, superstition's a funny thing in that, like, superstition on one hand is like putting your faith in something, right? I got to put my shoes on in a certain order, my socks on in a certain order. For me, a lot of times, I don't mean to be superstitious, but a lot of times I'm looking for a sign from God, right? You think you're going in a, thank you, sir. You're going in a certain direction. You're wondering, hey, is this God or is this me? And so you're always kind of looking for some indication whether or not you're going the right direction. Please tell me I'm not alone here, okay? I'm not talking about looking for the tea leaves or anything. But so tonight the Lord gave me a message, and I was, oftentimes the Lord will give me a message, and I'll be like, really? And he'll be like, yeah. And I'm like, are you sure? And he's like, who's in charge? And I'm like, And then, Pastor Jay opened up tonight, and I was like, well, bless God. I'm thinking that this is what the Lord had for us tonight. Let's open up this word of prayer, and then I'll get into it a little bit more. Father, we thank you for tonight. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's alive and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. God, specifically tonight, I'm asking that you would use this word to convict and change us. God, even myself, that I just have a new level of faith, a new level of love for you, a new level of conviction on the things that you would have me to do with my life, God. And I pray that for all of us, that we wouldn't leave here the same way that we came. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So tonight, I want to talk to you a little bit about generosity. And it's going to come across a little bit like a tithing message, but it's not. Like, because money is always connected in with generosity in our lives and in the Bible. I know I've been told by people, hey, listen, you don't have to give any disclaimers, but let me give one. He said, you don't have to give any disclaimers, just tell them how it is. Just give it to them. But this is the one disclaimer that I will say to you tonight. Because whenever a pastor starts talking about anything remotely close to money, there's always one or two people in the room that assume, well, the finances must be bad in the church. That's why the pastor's talking about money. The finances are fantastic in this church, okay? Like, God provides for this church. And honestly, I'd love to tell you how we're doing, but I don't know. Because about 2 months ago when I came back from vacation, I decided I didn't want to even know where we were at. I just said, hey, listen, let me know if we got to shut the doors. We're just going to move forward. And so I have no idea where the giving's at. So let that be an indication to you that this is from the Holy Spirit. This is what God wants to speak tonight to you specifically. And so I don't want you to assume. It's fine. We just got a jumper. I don't want you to assume that just because I'm talking about money that there's something wrong in the church, because there's not. Church is great, but this is what the Lord said. And I was like, God, are you sure this is what you want to speak? And then Pastor Jay opens up. The first words he said was, you know, money can't buy happiness. And I was like, interesting. All right. So here we go. So let me start off. Let me sweeten the pot a little bit. We'll start off a little bit of a joke. I heard a fantastic joke today. I'd never heard this one before, and pastors don't have very many jokes that they can tell in church. So a $50 bill and a $1 bill were at the Federal Reserve on a conveyor belt. And this $1 bill sees this $50 bill, and he says, hey, man, I haven't seen you in so long. How you been? He goes, man, I've been busy. He goes, busy doing what? Man, I got to tell you, I've been on a cruise. I went on a vacation to the Bahamas. I've been at these great spas. I was at this great casino. I went to a great boutique. Man, I've been everywhere. And he looks at the dog. He goes, what about you? Where have you been? He said, well, I've been to the First Baptist Church. I've been to the Presbyterian Church. Come on, that's a funny joke. The truth is that a lot of A lot of Christian people are not generous. They're just not. And I'll tell you, here's if I was being honest, because I've been lying up to this point, if I was going to be completely honest with you, I know that even for myself in my own life, sometimes, because, I mean, obviously I'm a tither, right? I mean, if I'm not, you guys would be very surprised. What? The old pastor doesn't even tithe to this church. So I'm a tither, of course. But part of what tithing can do in your spirit sometimes is you get this mentality of like, well, I tithe, don't I? I'm generous, right? I tithe, don't I? When the reality is that tithing is, sure, it's an obligation. It's something that we do to God. We do it willfully and cheerfully. But you can still be a tither and not have a generous spirit. You can be a giver and write the check or give the cash and be a tither and give 10%. But the reality is that you can do that and not be generous in your spirit, right? And really that's what I want to talk about tonight. It's not about a number, or it's not about a measure. It's really about checking your spirit and saying, do I have generosity in my heart towards everybody that I meet? Does God use me in a way that I'm able to be generous with other people? Am I a person that is known for being generous? I was reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 today, and I want to show these couple verses to you because I think it's really powerful. It says, let's start with verse 7. And he says, but just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. So Paul's saying to the Corinthian church, listen, you guys are doing a lot of good things, but why don't we see that you can really excel in this grace of giving? You can excel in it. Not just meet the mark, but actually excel in it. And this was the verse that I got caught up on today that I couldn't get away from. In verse 8, and this is a powerful verse if you think about our own lives. He says, I'm not commanding you, but, this is Paul talking, he says, I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. Paul says, you know what, I'm going to figure out how sincere you are. And you know how I'm going to do that? I'm going to compare you to other people and their earnestness. I'm going to walk through the aisles of the Corinthian church and I'm going to look at this person and say, this person is earnest in their giving. And I'm going to test your sincerity of your love, and the gauge that by which I'm going to do that is to see where you are in your giving. That's how I'm going to know how much you love God. That's how I'm going to know how much you love other people. And I tell you, it's a pretty scary verse, right? I almost said the D word, but that can you say that in context in a church? Can you say the D word?
No.
You can't? You still can't say it? Okay. So anyway, you guys know what I'm saying. It's a very challenging verse, but it really passes judgment on people, doesn't it? In some ways, it passes judgment on our heart condition. It passes judgment on what we're doing externally. And I thought to myself, you know, if God walked through faith and victory, if God walked through and looked at me and said, you know what, I'm going to test your sincerity, Matt, and the sincerity of her love by comparing with the earnestness of others, I thought, wow, because I know some really giving people. I really do. One of the most giving people that I know are the Ongs. And some of you may have heard us talk about these people before. They're Crystal and I's friend. They pastor a church up in Renton. If I ever make you mad, go to their church because they're better than us. And every time when we go out to meet them for coffee or meet them for lunch, man, these people, they bring us stuff every single time. Like, they'll we went on vacation, we bought you this. Or, hey, we were at the store and we thought you might enjoy this. Or, hey, we didn't have anything we remembered to buy, so we just wrote you a check. Or, like, all the time. And, you know, Crystal and I went a couple weeks ago to go meet them for lunch, and we're just about to leave the house. And you know what I said to her? Honey, we better bring something. And she said, why? I said, because you know they're going to bring something for us. I said, I'm tired of showing up seeing these people empty-handed. It's true. And why do I share that story with you? It's because they have challenged me in my own heart of how giving that I am.
That's right. Amen.
And how was I challenged in my giving? Because they were generous with me. Their generosity has challenged my own generosity and thought to myself, man, why have the Ongs got to be so darn giving? What is it in them that I don't have? And I thought, you know, man, if God compared the sincerity of my love and the Ongs were the ones that they compared me with, I wouldn't meet the mark. You can laugh, it's fine, but it's true. Now, bless God, they don't go to this church, so I'm okay. But the truth is that it's a heart condition that says, do you know what? Am I a generous person? And when it comes to generosity, a lot of times it's tied up with our money because, you know, we work so hard for our money and we want our money. And even as a child, I really kind of hoarded my money. I didn't want to share it with people. You know, we'd go hang out and whether or not what we were going to do is going to be based on whether everyone had money, not whether one guy had money. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's not like that as an adult, typically, or at least it shouldn't be, but people have such a huge love for their money. They do. Do you guys know people that have a huge love for their money? I know it's not you specifically, but you probably know some people. You know, I found this interesting information. In this book, The Day America Told the Truth, the authors found this out. They found this statistic because they did a poll. For $10 million... 25% of people would abandon their entire family. That means one in four. 23% would go work the streets for a week or more. 16% would give up their American citizenship. 16% would leave their spouses. 10% would withhold testimony and let a murderer go free. 7% would kill a stranger. This is the worst one. 3% would put their children up for adoption. Now, I would believe it if you asked me on some days of the week, but the truth is, not today. But isn't that scary how much people love money? And why is that? Because people get this sense that money can buy happiness. I think, man, if I just have money, I'm willing to do anything to experience an abundance of cash just so I can have all of this money. Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 10. Let me show you this verse, or verses as it were. In Luke chapter 10. Now, if you've got a Bible like mine, it's on page 1152. I'll just give you a minute to get there. It's in Luke chapter 10. It's right after chapter 9, before chapter 11. If you're in the New Testament, it's going to be after Matthew, but before Revelation. I'm there. Hold on. I'm just giving them a chance, sister. This isn't a Bible off. All right. So Luke chapter 10. We're going to start in verse 25, and I just want to share this little story with you. It says, on one occasion, an expert of law stood up to test Jesus and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You've answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest, mind you, a religious leader, happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side." So the priest is walking down the road, sees the guy just got beat, got half the stuff, and he goes, "Yeesh, I'm going the other side." "So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him." Now, if you remember what we've been talking about on Sunday, Samaritans are the despised people, right?
Right.
And in this story, Jesus uses the example, says the despised person was the one that stopped to help him. Not the priest, not the Levite, it was the despised person. And he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." "Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. And so Jesus tells this parable as an instruction to the man that asked him, and I believe an instruction to us when it comes to generosity. And this is that part where right now the Holy Spirit wants to take your mind and go and re-switch the way in which you think about your life and your level of generosity. And here it is. In that, there's three distinct philosophies. And the first philosophy is the robber philosophy. Okay? A robber philosophy says what is yours is mine. Okay? It's a philosophy that says, you know, if you have it, it's my job to get it from you. That's what the robbers did in this story. Okay? The other philosophy is the priest and the Levite. And that is, what's mine is mine. Right? I'm not going to even cross on your side of the street because I'm not going to be concerned with what's going on with you. I've got my own. That's all I need to be concerned with. I'm not going to be concerned with what's going on with you. And then the third one is the philosophy of the Samaritan, which is what is mine is yours. God has blessed me with this, and he's blessed me with it so that I can bless someone else with it. Amen? And we can talk about money a little bit, but it's not just about money. It's about your time. It's about the things that you have. It's about the skills that you have. You know, a lot of times, and this happens even in the workplace, a lot of times people aren't generous with the knowledge that they have at work because they're afraid that someone else is going to get up on them and they're not going to have their job anymore. So they say, well, I'm not going to help anybody else get better because right now I'm ahead of them. If I help them, they might get better than me, and the next thing you know, I'm out of a job. You guys ever seen this happen at work before? So we can talk about money, but there's more than just money at stake here. We need to be people that give of who we are to other people. Amen? One of the keys to becoming a generous person is this, is that you've got to develop and maintain a relationship with the Holy Spirit. See, in and of ourselves, we are despicable, horrible, nasty people. A few people. Some of it's funny. People are like, yeah, amen. Some people are like, that's not me. I don't know who you're talking about. All of us. Truth is that if deep down into our heart of hearts, myself included, we're selfish. We don't want to give somebody else because we're afraid if we give to somebody else, we won't have it ourselves. If I give it away, then I don't have it. And if I don't have it, I may not get any more. I remember when I was in stationed in Egypt, and I had this little electrical converter that somebody gave to me. And the electrical converters, you know, because they had to change the electrical, whatever. It cost like $50. $50. It's, you know, it's $50. So when I got into country, somebody gave it to me. And I used it the whole entire year I was there. And I remember the week before I left, I was about to sell it. And I was talking to Pastor Birch. He was like, hey, what are you going to do with that transformer? I said, man, I'm going to sell it. He goes, oh, really? How much are you going to sell it for? I said, $50. And then I said, man, it's so great. Somebody gave it to me. I'm going to sell it for $50. And he looked at me. He goes, man, freely you receive, freely give, huh? I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, why are you going to shame God? You got blessed with something for free. Now you're going to make a profit off of somebody? Hey, whatever you want to do, brother, it's fine with me. I didn't end up selling it. I ended up giving it away. But what's interesting is that challenge that he set to me, and this was over 10 years ago, it stuck with me. And there's been many other times in my adult life that I've given things away when I could have sold them because I realized that if something had been freely given to me, why would I not freely give it to someone else? But it took the Holy Spirit to convince me of that. In and of myself and my flesh, my flesh narrowly wants to do that. It's true. And the Holy Spirit speaks it to you, and you're like, dang it. It's so funny. A lot of times, the Holy Ghost, he has to really work at me, so he works through Crystal a lot of times. The Holy Spirit will tell me something to do, something to give, something to do out of the ordinary, and I don't tell no one. Because I really want to go through prayer and make sure it's really of God. And then Crystal, like it only takes a matter of like 24 to 72 hours, and she'll say, honey, you know what the Holy Spirit told me? And my stomach goes, grrr. I'm like, what? She goes, I was thinking we should give ABC to XYZ. And I was like, you think? And she always says, the Holy Spirit, I told you, didn't you? And I was like, maybe. And so then I'll go, I say, well, what did the Holy Spirit tell you? And it's funny, when it comes to matters of money, like, the Holy Spirit is so specific. He'll be like, this number. And he'll give me a number. And I never tell her, because I want to make sure it's the Holy Ghost. And then she'll say, well, the Holy Spirit gave me a number. And I'm like, and inside, in my flesh, I'm like, make it low, make it low. And she's like, the Lord told me it was this. And I'm like, dang it! And I'll tell you, every single time, it's exactly the same number that the Holy Spirit gave me. Every time. You got to do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. And sometimes it might take Pastor Crystal to get it to you. It's funny, she could start prophesying to somebody, be like, hey, you know what the Lord said, a number, and it's this. You'd be like, ah, that's what it was. You've got to develop and maintain a relationship with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, between verse 43 and 47, it says, a deep sense of awe came over them. And this is with the new believers, right? Right after the Holy Spirit came. It said, a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together constantly and shared everything they had. They sold their possessions and shared the proceeds with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their group those who were being saved. If you notice the beginning of that story, it says a deep sense of awe came over them. And that awe was followed by signs and wonders, miraculous signs and wonders. It was only because they were in the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came in, performed miraculous signs and wonders. And what did it translate into? Generosity amongst themselves. And then what happened from there? The Lord added to their number because people saw, wow, these people are being generous. The truth is that the world is not a generous place. It's just not. People don't buy somebody a coffee. People don't buy somebody a lunch. People don't give somebody something for free. People don't loan stuff to people. Everybody just keeps it to themselves. And so, you know what happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you're generous with other people? It opens up doors for ministry. Like, it opens up opportunities of people looking like, why are you doing this? And you say, well, the Holy Ghost told me to do it. Let me pray for you right now in Jesus' name. No, don't do that. But what? Loose it. No, but seriously, what happens when you are generous, it opens up doors because it's so countercultural to what our culture is today. But you have to have that connection with the Holy Spirit. You have to maintain that relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because even in the book of Acts, this couldn't have happened unless the Holy Spirit was present. Our flesh, the innermost parts of our flesh, are selfish. I'm selfish. I know this about myself. But that's my flesh. That's not what God desires for me. And so I'm constantly having to war with the flesh. There's still times when the Holy Spirit will tell me something to do, and I'll be like, ugh, really? And then be like, yeah, Pastor, do it. I'm like, ugh. Just because you battle with it doesn't mean you're not full of the Holy Ghost. Feel good that there's a battle. If there wasn't a battle, that should be an indication. If there's a battle in there, then that's good. Just follow the Holy Spirit as you're going through the battle. Amen? Amen. You know, in Philippians chapter 5, it says you are generous because of your faith. Here's what's interesting, is that you can give and not love. But it is impossible to love and not give. Let me say that again so you get that. You can give and not love, but it is impossible to love and not give. Didn't Jesus say, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also? Right? Can we ask the kids not do, shuttle races up there? I understand, but I'm sure that... See, what happens is the preaching carries on. They run out of things to tell them. You only tell them the story of Noah so many times. And then they're like, let's play a game. It's called run as fast as possible and as loud as humanly possible. And then the pastor down here, let's keep going here, okay? You know, I remember the first time I took somebody out for a meal. I was thinking about that while I was preparing the sermon. And, you know, the first person that I remember taking out for a meal was Dan Alexander, Pastor Jay's brother. And I remember we were probably, 18 or 19, and we went to Bellevue Square and we went to the Red Robin. And I remember we were in, you hang out at Northgate for so long, then you got to, go check out what's going on over at Bellevue Square. And I remember we were hanging out, and I remember that day I asked Dan, I was like, hey, man, let's go hang out. And he was like, hey, I ain't got no money. And he said to me, you got any money? And I remember I had, and this is a very long time ago, I had $20, and it was enough for me and him to go out to eat at Red Robin. It was a long time ago. But I remember sitting down for this meal with me and him, and I remember when the bill came and I was going to pay for it. And I remember it was like something broke free in me the first time I did that. Where I was like, do you know what? I'll pay for it. But some people never experience that, right? Some people are adults and they've never experienced generosity. You know, another key to becoming generous is that we really have to model our Maker, right? Yeah. We've got to model what God has done for us. Here's what's interesting is that you become like what you worship. But whatever you worship, you will become like. If we worship God, we become more like God. And the nature of God is that He is utterly and completely giving. He's generous. Right? I mean, He gave us life. I don't know about you, but so far, I enjoy living. Like, I love being on this side of the dirt. It's a fantastic thing. I love it. You know, in Psalm 114, verse 4, it says, their idols are merely things of silver and gold, shaped by human hands. They cannot talk, though they have mouths, or see, though they have eyes. They cannot hear with their ears, or smell with their noses, or feel with their hands, or walk with their feet, or utter sounds with their throats. And those who make them are just like them, as are all who trust in them. The nature of an idol is it's dead. It can't do anything for you. It doesn't change anything in the spiritual realm, except for it makes you less like God. It doesn't lead you down the path of righteousness. You know, we're not one of those hardcore Pentecostal churches that are like, don't watch your television. You know, it's funny, when we were in Texas, we lived next door to these Pentecostals, and their church was totally against TVs. So you know what they did? They put it in their bedroom. It's so funny. Pastor'd come by and be in the front room, and there was no TV in there, and then back night the TV would glow in their bedroom. Be like the Shekinah glory coming out of the back window. I don't think TV in and of itself is inherently evil. There's a lot of great things that you can see on TV, but there's some stuff on there that is utter and complete tripe. Yeah. Like it's like I sometimes have to repent after watching a commercial for a show. Yeah. Like seriously. And so a lot of that stuff, like there's channels that we don't even watch because we know the whole channel is evil, right? Yeah. But there's good stuff out there, right? There's, you know, some things that are relatively benign. Most of the stuff I want to watch is like How Stuff Is Made. And Crystal's like, please, can we watch something else? And I can watch How It's Made for hours. I love that show. It's interesting. But a lot of the shows that are on today, hear me, church. See, what happens is, and I know that some of you probably fall prey to this, is that you find like a little sinful show that's just kind of borderline and on the sinful, and you love that show, man. You're like, it ain't that bad because it's on TV, right? I didn't have to pay for it, so it can't be that bad. And a lot of those shows teach you some horrible things to worship. It's true. I'm not going to tell you don't watch TV because I watch TV and there's nothing wrong with watching TV, but you have to watch what you watch. Because some of those shows will teach you how to worship things that are not good. Teach you to worship beauty instead of the beauty of God. Teach you to worship fame instead of being famous before God. And all of a sudden you watch these shows with these these fake beautiful people that have these fake lives, and they call it reality TV. And then you get this sense of like, now you don't like your life, you don't like what you have because you're comparing yourself to some other life, and now you begin to worship it and think, well, if I only lived in the Real Housewives or wherever they are, then I'll finally have this great life. I'm like, man, come to Real Housewives of Covington. It ain't that exciting, you know what I'm saying? I always thought, man, if they made my life into a reality show, people would switch the channel. Because we'd be like, kids, time for bed. They're like, okay. You got to watch what you watch on TV. It plays out in the shows that you will see because it's how hard people will fight to keep their perceived lack of whatever they have. That's why a lot of these reality shows do so well, because they just take these broken people that will fight tooth and nail to not lose on whatever perceived status they think they have. They don't want to lose their beauty. They don't want to lose their status. They don't want to lose their money. They don't want to lose their whatever. We watch those things and all of a sudden we begin to worship those things. God is a generous God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The gift that God gave us in His Son first and foremost shows us His generosity. He gave His Son, His own Son, so that we could live. Going back to that verse we started with, if you compare yourself, look around and see how generous other people are and let that be an indication of how generous you are. Now, that could be good if there's some generous people hanging around, but maybe there isn't. And you're like, man, I'm good because those people aren't at all. Are you willing to give of who you are? Are you? Honestly, I think money's easy to give. It's easy. Because a lot of times, it doesn't take the emotional investment that it takes of giving of yourself. It's hard to give of yourself emotionally. It's difficult. Sometimes it happens even in love relationships, right? The spouse will make money and think that the money makes up for time spent. You know, I remember when I was in college, I heard Tony Campolo speak. You guys ever heard of Tony Campolo? Dude, the guy's amazing. And I remember he said this, when I was in college and it shaped my life, and he said, people spend so much time trying to make money to buy stuff for people to make up for the time that they don't spend with them trying to show them how much they love them. He said, Dad goes to work, he works real long so he can buy a car for his kid to give to his kid so that the kid will have a car to know that he's loved, when in reality the kid doesn't want a car, what he wants is his dad. Making money is easy. Dude, I can make money. What's hard is being vulnerable with somebody and giving of yourself. What's hard is being a friend. What's hard is opening yourself up emotionally to allow somebody else to love you and you to love them. In a love relationship, it's difficult to do that too. But God calls us to be generous, giving people. Amen? The truth is that generosity is equated to godliness. It is. We talk about on Sunday all the time, 2 Corinthians 9:7, God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. It says Proverbs 22:26, they're always greedy for more, but the godly love to give. Psalm 112:4, when the darkness overtakes the godly, light will come bursting in. They are generous, compassionate, and righteous. Psalm 37:21, the wicked borrow and never repay, but the godly are generous giver. The truth is, generosity means giving your best. If you can give more than you are you giving your best? The truth is, again, in my flesh, I don't like to be inconvenienced. I don't like it. You know, it's funny, as God made me live out the sermon today. Can I just share with you a little bit? Because I was at the football game today for Gabe's football game, and we were talking to one of the kids' dads. And he wants to, I'm just a living sermon example, okay? I fail so you can grow. That's what I do. So somebody gives me a ladder, right? So the ladder I use to clean my gutters. Bless God, this is a big ladder, man. This thing's like 30 feet. You've been to my house. My house is not a short house, just the way it's built. So they give me a 30-foot extension ladder. They say, I don't need it. You can have it. I'll borrow it if I ever need it. It's a blessing, man. It's like a $500 ladder. So we're at the football game today, and I was telling, I was so proud of myself. I said, hey, I cleaned my gutters before the rain came. And this dad's like, oh, really? Do you have a ladder? And I was like, man, I know where this is going. I said, yeah, I got a ladder. Is it big? I was like, yeah, man, it's like a 30-footer. He's like, really? Man, there's these gutters in my house I haven't been able to reach because I don't have anybody big enough with a ladder. I was like, man, wow, praise God. And he said, when's that rain coming? And I said, man, I think it's coming Friday. And he goes, man, I should probably clean my gutters tomorrow. And I was like, man, you sure should. And the Holy Spirit's like, why don't you let him borrow your ladder? And I was like, hey, man, you want to borrow my ladder? And he's like, man, that'd be great. But how are we going to get it to my house? Use your truck, bring it over. I said, man, well, you know, I got a truck. I can probably, if you come over to my house and help me load it up, I'll drive it over to your house, you can borrow the ladder. And he said, great. He goes, you want to do that Thursday after work? I said, what time do you get off work? He said, 3:30. And I was like, I thought to myself, tomorrow I got a stacked day. I'm not even going to get home until like 5:30 or 6. And I thought, man, there's my out. Man, I'd love to, brother, but I'm going to be home until like 6 o'clock. It'll be dark. You just have to make other plans. And the Holy Spirit was like, you could probably do it tonight, couldn't you? This is today. And I was like, the Holy Spirit says to me, so let me get this straight. You know how fast he talks. He's like, so you're going to preach about generosity tonight, and I'm telling you about being generous. You ain't going to even do it. Why are you going to get us to talk about generosity if you ain't even willing to do it yourself? And I said to him, I tell you what, brother. And I almost wanted to say, I got to go preach this sermon about generosity tonight first. And I said, I tell you what, man. I said, when I get home from church tonight, I'll call you at 9 o'clock. I said, you can come over and we'll load up the thing and I'll bring it over because I can't bring it to you on Thursday night. I said, I'm not going to be there. But that way you can get it done before the rain comes. And he said, really, you do that? I said, man, bless God. Man, I'll call you at 9. We'll be out there in the dark moving the ladder. Why did I tell you that story? Not to show you that I'm this fantastic ladder lender, okay? I just wanted to, that's a real life example when the Holy Spirit will speak something to you, and I know that this stuff happens with you all the time. The Holy Spirit's like, give it, lend it, help them, do this. And you're just like, ugh, I don't go move a ladder at 9 o'clock at night. I've been so tired from sleeping. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be, I do not want to go home tonight after preaching 9 o'clock, loading up some ladder, driving through Covington, bringing it to this guy. I just don't want to do it. I'll be honest with you. But the Holy Spirit's using what? How are you going to be a giving person if I'm not going to allow you to be inconvenienced sometimes? And you know what? I don't know what God's going to do with it. And if nothing happens except he breaks me of my own need to not be inconvenienced, then the Holy Spirit's done his job. I told him, I said, brother, it's a one-man job. Only one man can be on that ladder at a time. Let me leave you with this, and then we'll shut this thing down. I'm going to leave you with two last things. Just give me 2 more minutes, okay? See yourself as a river and not a reservoir, okay? A river flows. I heard it say one time, God will not get to you what he cannot get through you. God uses people to bless people in the name of him. And so if he's not using you, then he's not going to use you. You've got to be a river. It's got to flow through you. You can't be a reservoir where it stops, okay? And then the last one is think in terms of the line, not the dot. What do I mean by that? Is that sometimes we get this mentality of like, my goal is to amass for my end. And once I'm there, I've arrived. We're on a line, folks. We're on our way to eternity. You can't take anything with you. I've done my fair share of funerals. I ain't seen nobody take nothing yet. It's true. So we're on a process here of moving towards eternity. Don't have a dot mentality. Have a line mentality. Because as you're moving down the line, you realize that things can just go by the wayside and you can just end up going to glory with nothing. Amen? You can't take it with you anyway. Amen? Amen. Let's close with a word of prayer. Oh, let me just not rush the Holy Spirit for a minute here. Would you guys just, let's be church for a minute here. Just close your eyes, bow your heads for a moment, okay? I just want to pray with you and this is for me too. If you need the Lord to touch you in the area of generosity and you just want to touch from the Lord tonight, would you just raise your hand? Would you say that's me? See, I need some more generosity in my spirit. Praise God. All right, let's pray together. Lord, would you just help us to be more generous? God, not just with our money, but with ourselves, with what we have, with what we do, with our abilities, with our skills. Holy Spirit, we're asking you to convict us. We're asking that in those areas of our life, in the conversations we have with people at work, the things that we see, Holy Spirit, we're asking for you to convict us for a new level of generosity, a new level of love, a new level of conviction to have you use us to touch other people so that you can get the glory, God. Father, we ask these things tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you all so much for coming. Sorry about the extra 4 minutes. I'll give it back next week. Amen.